Well, it looks like y'all got the short straw again, but it's good to see you anyway. I had allowed the praise team 48 minutes for songs, and here we are. So y'all bear with me. Last Sunday when Joey kind of opened up our service with some scripture, one of them he talked about, one of them he mentioned was that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And right then, the Lord stuck that in my brain. And I've been thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. And the thing keeps coming to my mind is, what are these words? What are these words? What's he telling us to do? But as I started diving into that a little bit, took a little bit of a twist. So it'll be different than what I thought it was going to be, but hey, that's what the Lord showed out, put in my heart, so that's where we'll go. But in our words can do a lot of good, and they can do a lot of damage. And sometimes that damage is enough where, you know, I'm sorry is just that, an apology, but it still leaves a scar, it still leaves a hurt, it hurts. Sometimes our words do a lot of good and a lot of damage, and we don't even know about it. We may have an opportunity where we have thought we were making a nice comment, but what we've did is offend somebody. Sometimes we thought we may have just been nice, but then what we said has really encouraged somebody and helped them along the way. So sometimes our words do some things that we really don't know of. But the words that proceed out of the mouth of God, just like parents, are for our good, even when they hurt sometimes. So just to show how our words are different, I stole this right here from a pastor in North Carolina. I couldn't find his name, and I hope it's not any of the North Carolina pastors that's been through here. It says, three male dogs, a pit bull, a Labrador retriever, and a chihuahua. Now, if I hadn't wrote that, I would have said chihuahua, because that's how it's spelled. And a chihuahua were walking down the street when they saw a beautiful female poodle. The three male dogs fall all over themselves in an effort to be the one to reach her first, but they end up getting to her at the same time. The males were speechless before her beauty, slobbering on themselves and hoping for just a glance from her in return. Aware of her charms and her obvious effect on the three dogs, she decided to be kind and told them. The first one who can use the words liver and cheese together in an imaginative, intelligent sentence can go out with me. The sturdy, muscular pit bull speaks up quickly and he said, I love liver and cheese. The beautiful poodle said, that shows no imagination or intelligence whatsoever. She turned to the tall, shiny Labrador retriever and said, how well can you do? He said, I hate liver and cheese. The poodle said, my, I guess it's hopeless. That's just as dumb as the pit bull sentence. She then turned to the last of the three dogs and said, how about you, little guy? The last of the three was the Taco Bell Chihuahua. He gave her a crooked smile, a cool wink, turned to the pit bull in the lab and said, leave her alone, she's mine. So our words, you know, they have an effect on people, how we use them, what we do. But let's look at some of these words from God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. Says, and he humbled thee. Now, remember what's going on here. God has provided manna. He's provided some meat. They've been in the desert for 40 years. They grumble and complain. So here we in this situation. That's what's been happening. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that they might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Just look at the word live right there. The word live in that passage means that, to live, just to be. And when I read that, and I think of the sentence there that in verse 4, the raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. The raiment, their clothes. For 40 years, their clothes never wore out. I was looking on the front row if we had any. Now we pay no telling how much for the holes already in the pants. But God said your clothes didn't even wear out. Your feet didn't even swell. How many pair of shoes we go through a year? I'm dealing with a plantar's hickey-majiggy on my foot right now. Can't get rid of it. But what I think's happening right here is they lived. They survived. They just got by. God provided man, and he tells them, lose my spot here, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, even though I fed you, that's not what kept you alive. That's not what brought you through. Look what I did. Your clothes never wore out. Your feet didn't even swell. 40 years. 40 years. Can you imagine in that time if a case of the flu had shown up? Any other disease, contagious diseases we have nowadays, what they would have done? So God's telling them, it's because of what I've done. Not just the pigeon or the quail, depending on your interpretation, not just the manna. It was me that kept you alive. You did not survive. You did not just get by on the food you ate. Look at everything else I did for you. So now let's jump over to Matthew 4:4. And it's a little different here. Jesus has been called out in the wilderness. He's been in the wilderness, when he's weak, at his weakest point, the devil is tempting him. He's telling him to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus answered. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This live here is a little different. Jesus is on the scene. He's, you know, his first steps from his, at about a year old, whenever he started walking, his first steps were taking him to a cross for you and me. And he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And you look at that from a grace and a mercy standpoint, a New Testament era in which we live in. And that live there means to live, to experience God's gift of life. Alive, quick, to enjoy life, to have true life and worthy of the name, active, blessed, and a life that is endless in the kingdom of God. To me, is a big difference. Big difference in living in the desert and turning your back on God and complaining and grumbling, and the difference of what God's talking about now, what Jesus is talking about. We go from surviving, just hanging on, to living life like God intended us to live. Sometimes in our lives, we do feel that way, like we're just hanging on. There's a song out there that I think it says, your strength is found at the end of my rope. Has anybody ever been there when you think that's all you got? Is that knot at the end of the rope? I think of Miss Sheila. Had her father's funeral today. I know she's hurting. She's grieving. She may feel like she's at the end of her rope. But God wants us to live, to be quick, to be alive. John 10:10 says this. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That's what we're talking about when we're living in Jesus Christ. We don't live by bread alone. We don't need the bread just to survive. We live by what comes out of Jesus' mouth. What comes out of God's mouth. We live by this right here. The Holy Spirit dwells in each of us that know Christ is our Savior. That's what we live. That's what brings us joy. So I want to talk, just mention a few things. I guess some basics. I don't know what to call it. What it is to experience, this is what I wrote, to experience this life, to live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God, first thing we need to do is be saved. You know, the blessings of God, this joy, this peace, not everybody has that because not everybody has trusted Christ as their Savior. To live this life, this abundant life that God has planned for us, first and foremost, we have to be saved. We need to have placed our faith in Jesus and accepted His sacrifice on the cross for our sins that grants us eternal life and allows the Holy Spirit to take residence inside of us. We have to die to ourselves in order to begin to live. And I've shared before about when I've been on a mission trip down to Mississippi and I met John. I called him Big John. He was blind. And he went to sharing his testimony, and he says, and he still writes me a letter about every few months, but that's part of his ministry. He has a jail ministry where he writes letters to the inmates. I don't know if he thought I was on a weekend pass, but he writes me letters. But he said, Roger, and he wasn't born that way. It's something, the early onset of that macular degeneration. But he said, Roger, God had to blind me before I could ever see. And that still sticks with me. In my mind, even though he can't see a lick, Big John is living the abundant life. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Everyone within the sound of my voice that is saved, you either read the word, or someone shared the word with you. Somehow or another, it ties back to the word. It's the word that you heard that saved you. If you're not saved, then you're hearing it tonight. To experience this life, to live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God, we need to spend time in His word. That's where He's going to speak to us. That's where we're going to get to know Him. My aunt and uncle will soon celebrate 50 years here sometime after the first of the year. And I don't believe that happened without them spending time with one another and getting to know one another. That's what we need to do with God. Spend time in His Word. And I'm not talking about checking off your reading list. But spending time in order that you begin to grow. Yeah, reading your Bible's fine. I think everybody should do that. But if your attitude toward reading your Bible is to, I've done that, I got that done, now I'm on to something else. Slow down. Take some time. Get to know who you're reading about. Get to know who it is that's living inside of you. Deuteronomy 6:3-9 says this. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, When thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of the house on thy gates. God's pretty serious about people knowing His Word, His commandments, what He's telling us to do, getting to know Him. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants us to spend time in His Word, spend time with Him. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the WANA program over here, but that verse right there is what the WANA program is all based on. Approved workmen are not ashamed. And those kids get over there and they learn so much. I've seen kids been able to come back. I'm talking, you know, third, fourth graders start telling you all the books of the Bible, not only frontward, but backwards. Why they learn that, I don't know, but they do. And what they're able to retain is just awesome. Approved workmen and not ashamed. Study to show thyself approved. To experience this life, to live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God, we need to give. Oh no, I can't believe you went there. You finished talking about money. Well, what I'm talking about, has God ever failed you? Show of hands. Have you ever received a blessing from God? How about a show of hands there? Amen. In Genesis 4, 3 through 5, you know, an offering, giving something, is established right here back during the time of Cain and Abel. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. That's not something they started just when churches started popping up. Worshiping God through an offering has been around since Cain and Abel. Move on to Abraham. Genesis 14:20. Melchizedek, and if I have a third youngin', I'm going to name it that. Melchizedek. In his dealings with Abraham, says, and blessed be the Most High God. This is Melchizedek talking to Abraham. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into the land, and he gave him tithes of all. A tenth. That's where the principle starts, of a tenth. We should give. We should give. Malachi 3:10. I was in a Bible class one time, and a guy was talking about Malachi, and the name and the spelling popped up, and he said, no, that is not the Italian prophet Malachi. That is Malachi. 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. Wouldn't that be nice? It's almost like winning the lottery. I don't play. I heard one preacher talk about one time, I don't play the lottery, but I sure hope my in-laws win it. Where would we put it? When we first got married, we made a commitment as husband and wife that we were going to honor the Lord in our marriage. And one of the first things we started doing was tithing. And still, after almost 23 years, this is one thing I go back to. As soon as we started doing that, 6 months later or so, I mean, some time passes, some, I don't know if they all got together and decided they didn't, but late wedding presents started flowing in. Most of them were cash, checks, desperately needed. You buy your first house and your payment is $666, which I never paid. We always paid something different. We knocked that off by a penny. I wouldn't ever pay that. We had late wedding gifts come in. Now that we were married, we got some kind of insurance rebate. My wife does all that. I don't know where that was coming from. But the thing that really got me is my wife's grandmother, on up in age then, obviously, would some kind of place would go, and she could go by and was able to get a sack of canned groceries. And what she didn't like, she would give to us. And we had two or three cans of something she'd give us, and we went to put it up and opened the cabinet, and there was no room to put it. And I'm telling you, right then and there, I thank the Lord for his blessings on me. I'm going to have to just read right here. God is faithful to keep his promises, and giving is a measure of our faithfulness, not his. And I truly believe that the reason God continues to pour out his blessings on Liberty Baptist Church is not because of what the church receives, but what the church gives. I don't know if you do the math on the finance reports that come out, but did you know that Liberty tithes on Liberty's tithes? I don't know of any church that does that. I've looked at some financial reports at some other churches, not being nosy, but some stuff I was having to do. I had to look at those records. And I think it's Billy Graham. Some other Bible scholars have talked about the average Christian gives 2%. They also believe that in a congregation, probably only 2% of the people are saved. And that number two, I got to looking, I already knew that information I'd heard, and I got to looking at some of the finance reports of some of those churches. Again, it wasn't being nosy, it was some other stuff I was having to do. You know how much most of the churches tithe on outreach to reach other people? 2%. So back to what I was saying, I think so many blessings come to this church because of what this church gives. When we gave to help the other church down there building those homes, and who can forget the wells? The wells, how that just flowed in and people were able to be ministered to. Those blessings, I believe, and that's just the gospel according to Roger, are directly related to how we give and how we love and reach out. Elizabeth, if you'll come on. And when I get done, just for the sake of the recording, I'm going to say something like, it's 7:55. I don't want to get fired. So when David listens to the recording, we'll just say, it's 7:55. Y'all have a good evening. Can you keep that a secret, Elizabeth? And the last thing, to experience this life, to live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God, we need to tell others about Jesus. There's not a soul out there that doesn't need to know what makes you different. What makes you different? We need to be a witness both in word and in deed. If your faith came by hearing the word of God, then why would you not want somebody else to hear the word of God? We may struggle talking in public, whatever the case may be, but there's nobody in here that can't tell somebody just what Jesus done for you. You ain't got to dig too deep in the scripture. You ain't got to be a Bible scholar to tell somebody what Jesus did for you. And another thing we think is my testimony is not as stirring as somebody else. But when somebody else learns that He saved us all from the same hell. I guarantee you that'll stir somebody's heart. If the 12 ordinary men who were chosen by Jesus, the apostles, would have shared the gospel in the same manner that we do, I struggle with it too, in the same manner that we do, would we have even heard of Jesus yet? If those 12 men spread it just like we do, would it even made it across the water yet? And that's a good book, by the way, 12 Ordinary Men. Luke 24:47, I'll close with this. At that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. They started right there. For you, when it comes to witness and it comes to sharing, your Jerusalem may be where you work. Your Jerusalem may be where you shop. Your Jerusalem, where you start to share the gospel with somebody, could be where you live. And I'll tell you right now, witnessing the family is one of the hardest things you'll ever do when it comes to sharing the gospel. There are many other things that we could list that we need to do to experience this life that God has planned, this abundant life. Obviously, prayer. And we could go that one and do a whole nother message just on prayer. But through his word, through his prayer, fellowshipping with other believers. And that's not, you know, necessarily mean tater salads involved. Fellowshipping when you get together and you rub in your lives and you're sharing your burdens. That's fellowshipping. That's fellowshipping. And lastly, loving folks you normally wouldn't. Is that easy? But we love them because God chose to love us. So we choose to love them. And we could go on and on of things that we could do that would draw us closer to God, that we'd end up enjoying this life and have life more abundantly. And don't get me wrong, as close as we could be to the Lord, there's still going to be heartaches. There's still going to be arguments, bad days at work, whatever the case may be. But it's God and what comes out of his mouth through his word, through a prayer life, through a life that we try to walk as close as we can to him. That's what allows us to live. I heard somebody say one time that we ought to try to live our life so close to God that once we walk into heaven, nothing changes. That'd be pretty amazing. But as long as I'm in this flesh, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm still going to have feelings. I'm still going to want what somebody else has got. But it's God through his son Jesus Christ. That's where life comes from the beginning to the end. With the things that's been mentioned tonight, if you've got business to do with the Lord, maybe you're struggling like I do in some of those situations, I'm going to get Elizabeth to play here for a couple of minutes. This altar is open. Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you're not in a position where you can experience this abundant life. I beg you to seek somebody out before you leave tonight, so you have an opportunity to get to know Jesus Christ and understand what he's done for you.